From WBUR Boston and NPR, I'm Jane Clayson in for Tom Ashbrook, and this is On Point. It began with a presidential tweet storm. President Trump said President Obama wiretapped phones in Trump Tower. A bold, explosive allegation with zero evidence and denials everywhere. All this on the heels of the Attorney General Jeff Sessions' Russia controversy. We'll unpack it all with the ranking Democrat on the House Intelligence Committee. This hour on Point, Representative Adam Schiff is in the studio. You can join us on air or online. What do you think of the president's wiretapping allegations? Should there be an investigation, an apology from President Trump, or not? Join us anytime at onpointradio.org or on Twitter and Facebook at OnPoint Radio. In a few minutes, Congressman Adam Schiff joins us, but we begin in Washington with the very latest details on the wiretap story. Joining me, Greg Miller, national security reporter for The Washington Post. He broke the story about Jeff Sessions not disclosing contact with the Russian ambassador. Greg, great to have you with us. Thank you.
Hi, Jane.
So let's begin with President Trump's tweets suggesting that President Obama ordered an illegal wiretap of his offices. FBI Director James Comey has apparently asked the Justice Department to publicly reject Trump's claims. What's the latest here? What do you know?
Yeah, I'm looking at this as like the Mar-a-Lago meltdown over the weekend. I mean, there was a story in the Post today about just Trump raging throughout the weekend about what had happened to Sessions, about the feckless response of his White House team, and that leads to these ungrounded tweets, these baseless tweets that he fires off over the weekend. And then all of Washington is sort of sorting through this mess for days and is still doing so today. I mean, as we've reported and others have reported, there doesn't appear to be any evidence that Obama ordered wiretaps of Trump or that there even were wiretaps of Trump Tower. And so this is all looks increasingly like one of Trump's ploys to create a diversion from a story that was not going in the White House direction.
In an interview with Good Morning America this morning, host George Stephanopoulos asked White House spokesperson Sarah Huckabee whether President Trump accepted FBI Director James Comey's denial of the wiretapping during the campaign.
He does not accept the reporting that the FBI director has said this did not happen. Does the president accept that or not?
The president wants the truth to come out to the American people, and he is asking that it be done through the House Intelligence Committee and that that be the process that we go through.
She also said the president might have access to documents she doesn't know about. Greg Miller, because the president didn't give any proof of the claims, it's not clear where they came from. Do we have any clarity about where the president got his information?
Well, I think that we were told that even by White House officials who were initially entirely caught off guard by this and puzzled by it, that it came from reports in Breitbart, the alt-right news website, and that this is the sole basis for this allegation that he's making. In pointing to the House Intelligence Committee, I mean, he is pointing essentially, the White House is pointing to, it's one of its closest allies in Congress, one of its most fierce protectors. That committee is the chairman of that committee, Devin Nunes, was on Trump's transition team. And so to not accept what the FBI director appears to be saying and to point to one of your main political allies in Congress is an exercise in a lack of accountability, if not dishonesty.
Here's an appearance from NBC's Meet the Press yesterday, where James Clapper, the former director of national security, said there was no wiretap of the Trump campaign.
For the part of the national security apparatus that I oversaw as DNI, there was no such wiretap activity mounted against the president-elect at the time or as a candidate or against his campaign.
So there's James Clapper, former director of national intelligence. Also, of course, James Comey, director of the FBI, claiming that those Trump statements are false and asking that they be corrected, actually. I mean, these are remarkable rebukes of a sitting president.
Yeah, and you are also seeing Republicans, even Republicans in Congress, reacting with some significant dismay. Republicans who are starting to peel back from this at the spectacle of this, and who know that there probably is that I mean, who know that there is no basis for these allegations, and they have seen this sort of playbook over and over again, and are starting to grow a bit wary of it.
Here's Republican Senator Marco Rubio, a member of the Senate Intelligence Committee, yesterday on CNN's State of the Union, saying that we'll find out soon whether the wiretapping allegations are true.
I'm not sure what it is he is talking about. Perhaps the president has information that is not yet available to us or to the public. And if it's true, obviously we're going to find out very quickly. And if it isn't, then obviously he'll have to explain what he meant by it.
And here on Face the Nation on CBS, Republican Maine Senator Susan Collins reacting to President Trump's claim. Here she is.
It would be more helpful if he turned over to the Intelligence Committee any evidence that he has. What we need to deal with is evidence, not just statements.
So since those initial tweets, then, President Trump, Greg Miller, has demanded a congressional inquiry into whether President Obama abused the power of federal law enforcement agencies, right? Is that the next step?
That's what the White House is seeking at this point or asking for. But, I mean, you have to keep in mind that Trump, as the chief executive who oversees the entire national security apparatus of our government, has what is called ultimate declassification authority. He can find out this answer. He can get this order if such an order exists, declassify it and put it out there. He has the power to do that. He doesn't need to rely on a congressional committee. And the fact that he is doing so suggests that he can't produce the evidence.
Before I let you go, Greg Miller, let me ask you about Attorney General Jeff Sessions. You broke the story about Sessions not disclosing possible contact with the Russian ambassador. Sessions, of course, has recused himself from further investigations on the Russia matter. What's the latest on this matter?
Well, Sessions was down at Mar-a-Lago meeting with Trump over the weekend. His handling of this apparently really infuriated Trump, who saw Sessions' decision to recuse himself as a sign of weakness, of backing down against this intense scrutiny. I mean, initially I thought that Sessions would survive this. He would have to recuse himself, but then probably the trouble for him would recede. It's not quite clear, though. I mean, the Democrats on the Hill are implying in a request that they've made of his office that he has made additional misstatements, perhaps when he, during his press conference, talked about his consultations with ethics officers at the Justice Department. It sounds like senators Democratic senators on the Senate Intelligence Committee don't believe he really did that.
Greg Miller, national security reporter for The Washington Post. Greg, thanks so much. Always great to have you.
Thank you.
Joining me now in the studio is Congressman Adam Schiff of California. He is the ranking Democrat on the House Intelligence Committee. Congressman, welcome to the program. Great to have you.
Thank you. It's great to be with you.
So your reaction to President Trump's accusations that President Obama illegally wiretapped Trump Tower?
Of course, my first reaction was astonishment, shock. I think that was probably the prevalent reaction around the country. Most people have correctly observed that if the president is accurate about this, that it would mean one of two things, that either a federal judge had concluded there was probable cause to believe that he or his associates were engaged in a crime, or from the counterintelligence point of view, that he or his organization were agents of a foreign power. Neither of those obviously would reflect very positively on the president. But I think there is a more likely explanation, which is every bit as troubling to me, and that is that this is a president who cannot separate fact from fantasy. And when it comes to his constitutional obligations as commander-in-chief, doesn't know the difference between right and wrong. And in the long run, that may be the far more significant problem than either of those other hypotheses.
So let's get to one of these facts here. Here's House Minority Leader Nancy Pelosi on CNN State of the Union yesterday saying that presidents do not order wiretaps of American citizens.
I can tell you that it's just ridiculous for the president, President Trump, to say that President Obama would ever order any wiretap of an American citizen, any president. That's just we don't do that.
So, Congressman Schiff, you're a Harvard-trained lawyer. Can a president order a wiretap?
No, this would be done by the Justice Department or presumably by an intelligence agency if they believed and had cause they could show a court that someone was an agent of a foreign power. But here we had Director Clapper, who was the top intelligence official at the time, saying, no, that never happened. So we know it wasn't done under the auspices of foreign intelligence through FISA. And if the reports are correct that Jim Comey asked the Justice Department to make it clear that the Justice Department didn't engage in a wiretap, that would be under Title 18, a criminal wiretap. So it seems like both of the top officials are rejecting this claim, and not surprising because it is, I think, utter nonsense.
So you talk about FISA. If there had been a wiretap, an FBI wiretap, it would have had to have been approved by the special panel of federal judges, this FISA court, right?
If this was for foreign intelligence gathering, if there was evidence of a crime, then you could go to a federal judge and seek a Title 18, a criminal wiretap. But I think, you know, one of the key issues here is no one appears to know what this president is talking about. And since when his administration said, well, we don't want to talk about this, even Sean Spicer can't bring himself to try to defend this. And that's saying quite a bit.
Here's the former director of National Intelligence, James Clapper, on NBC's Meet the Press yesterday, talking about the FISA order, that there was none. There was no FISA order.
If the FBI, for instance, had a FISA court order of some sort for a surveillance, would that be information you would know or not know?
Yes.
You would be told this.
I would know that.
If there was a FISA court order,
yes,
on something like this.
Something like this, absolutely.
And at this point, you can't confirm or deny whether that exists?
I can deny it.
There is no FISA court order?
Not to my knowledge.
Of anything at Trump Tower?
No.
So where do we go from here?
Well, look, I think what the director is saying is that there was no FISA target in the Trump organization. Now, is there still the possibility that there were other FISA court orders looking at foreign powers and that caught up Trump campaign people? Well, that is certainly a possibility. That is one of the things, frankly, that we hope to find out on the Intelligence Committee. Is there evidence of collusion between the Trump campaign and the Kremlin? And one of the ways you might determine that is if you either hear Russian officials talking about it or you hear Russians talking with Trump people about it.
This is On Point. I'm Jane Clayson in for Tom Ashbrook. We're talking about the latest firestorm from the White House over allegations of wiretapping and questions about the Attorney General and Russia. You can join the conversation. Are you stunned by what's going on? Are you standing with President Trump? Do you want to see a special prosecutor investigate all of this? This hour, my guest in the studio, Representative Adam Schiff, the ranking member of the House Intelligence Committee, which is currently investigating alleged collusion between the Trump campaign and Russia in the 2016 election. He's been in Congress since 2001, represents California's 28th congressional district, which includes Los Angeles County. Congressman, I want to hear some more here. This is yesterday, ABC's This Week. Co-anchor Martha Raddatz grilling White House spokesperson Sarah Huckabee over President Trump's claims that Obama had him wiretapped.
If this happened, once again, this would be the greatest abuse of power and overreach that's probably ever occurred in the executive branch.
But what
something
about
that
these
certainly
accusations?
Deserves
you just
to
keep
be
saying
looked at.
If the president of the United States said it was a fact, he didn't say, I read a story in Breitbart or the New York Times or wherever else. He said, just found out that Obama had my wires tapped in Trump Tower. That's not an if.
Look, I will let the president speak for himself.
And also on This Week, Minnesota Democratic Senator Al Franken responding to a question about whether there was any evidence behind President Trump's claim that President Obama wiretapped his phone.
He claimed this is fact. I think this is just a distraction to distract from this very, very serious interference by a foreign power on our democracy. And the question of whether Trump World, his campaign, his business associates had anything to do with it and colluding with them.
So there's Senator Franken, Congressman Schiff. You heard before that Sarah Huckabee Sanders, a White House spokesperson, saying this would be the greatest abuse of power and overreach that's ever occurred, if indeed it did occur. I mean, you know, you hear from Trump supporters who say, look, you know, this Trump's a fighter. He's not going to take anything lying down. This is possible. It's refreshing that he's willing to stand up, fight for what he thinks is right. Certainly he is uninhibited by the traditional protocols of the office. I mean, what's wrong with that?
I think everything is wrong with that. And just imagine the perspective around the world where we're in a global struggle of ideas, where autocracy is on the rise in places like led by the Kremlin, but in places like Ankara and in Cairo, in Hungary, in Poland and elsewhere with the rise of Marie Le Pen in France. Imagine the response around the world when they hear a United States president accuse his predecessor of wiretapping his campaign. I can't imagine the president has any idea what kind of destruction he's doing to our standing in the world, the whole reputation of our democracy, and how can we be the leader of the free world when our president engages in conduct like this? It's just so destructive at so many levels. There's nothing refreshing about it. There's nothing true about it. Unfortunately, we have picked a president of the United States who, again, I would like to think that this is a strategic decision, a distraction that would be less troubling, frankly, but I fear there's something deeper at root here. I think he probably really believes this and has a hard time separating fact from fiction.
You've been one of the loudest voices on Capitol Hill pushing Republicans to investigate not only the Russian hacking of the 2016 election, but also any possible ties President Trump or his campaign advisors may have had to Russia. You've accused the FBI, actually, in this process of stonewalling the House Intelligence Committee's investigation of the alleged Russian interference in the election. Why do you believe they're not cooperating if you say they're not?
Well, and I wouldn't characterize this as an accusation. I mean, this is simply the director coming before our committee and being asked questions pertinent to the investigation and responding by saying, I will not answer that, and I won't answer that either.
Why not?
Well, you'd have to ask the director that. But in order for us to do our job, we're going to have complete answers from the director. We need to know what has the FBI investigated, what leads have they chased down, if any, what leads remain to be investigated. There's no way that we can become the FBI ourselves. And so if we're going to represent the American people at the end of the day that we've done a thorough job, we have to have their full cooperation. At this point, we don't have it. And I think it's necessary for the public to know that.
Your Republican counterpart on the House Intelligence Committee, Devin Nunes, sees this very differently. He says Director Comey has been forthright in your meetings. Here he is speaking to reporters about the panel's investigation into Russia's attempts to influence the presidential election.
We still have not seen any evidence of anyone that from the Trump campaign or any other campaign for that matter that's communicated with the Russian government.
So, you know, a lot of Republicans say this is a witch hunt. There is no evidence of anyone from the Trump campaign there. Devin Nunes said it, that anyone from the Trump campaign communicated with the Russian government.
Well, first of all, we've just begun our investigation. We're still in the process of reviewing the documents that underlie the intelligence community assessment of Russian involvement in the hacking. So the very first witness we had in the investigation was Director Comey. As I mentioned, Director Comey would not answer questions germane to the investigation. So how can we conclude at this early stage that there either is or isn't evidence of Trump campaign collusion with the Russians? We simply can't. And we shouldn't prejudge where this investigation goes. If we're going to be objective about it, if we're going to do what we say we are, both Democrats and Republicans on the committee, and follow the facts wherever they lead, we can't begin by walling off certain things and saying, we don't think there's going to be anything there, so we're not going to investigate.
You've said that you're considering issuing a subpoena to compel the FBI to give you the information, the records that you're seeking. Is that still a real possibility?
Well, look, I hope that the director, and he's going to come back to Congress and brief us again, brief us as part of the Gang of Eight, and I hope come back to the committee as well. I hope he will have consultations with the Department of Justice and reach a different conclusion about his willingness or the department's to be more forthcoming with us. If not, then we'll have to look at what remedies exist. And, you know, in terms of a subpoena, we'll need bipartisan support for that. But again, the two questions I think the American people have when they look at our investigation and wonder whether it's going to be credible, one, I think, is are we going to get the support we need from the administration and from the FBI to do our investigation? And two, are we going to be allowed to do it in the committee? And, you know, one key test will be when witnesses won't cooperate, when they won't testify or testify completely, when they won't provide documents, are we prepared to issue the subpoenas we must to do our job? And if we can't, then we can't claim to be doing a thorough investigation.
My guest this hour, Congressman Adam Schiff, ranking member of the House Intelligence Committee, which is currently investigating allegations of collusion between the Trump campaign and Russia in the 2016 election. I've got calls lined up around the building here. Let's get Nathan in first from Lawrenceburg, Kentucky. Hi, Nathan. Welcome to On Point.
Hi, Jane.
Hi. Go ahead.
If anything, my comment for this is that if the Justice Department, the government, or anyone had any kind of probable cause for wiretapping President Trump's phone, that, if anything, helps fuel the argument that the Trump campaign had ties with Russia. And if anything, I do think that that should go to investigation.
All right, Nathan, thank you. Speaking of that investigation, Congressman Schiff, I mean, Senator Chuck Schumer has talked about the issue of getting a special prosecutor to investigate all of this. Let me hear him first, and I'll ask you about it on the other side.
I don't have any doubt that President Obama has been telling the truth. If they want to investigate it, sure. But the real point is we need a special prosecutor to investigate what went on in the Trump campaign transition.
Senator Schumer is saying that these intelligence committees have become politicized. He's calling for a special prosecutor. Is there a point, Congressman Schiff, where it's best to take this away from Congress, get the politics out of it, appoint a special prosecutor?
Well, I would say take it away from Congress, but I would recommend that we do things in addition to the investigations going on in the House and Senate Intelligence Committee. And one of them is the appointment of independent counsel. I held off on that conclusion until I felt that certain facts warranted a decision by the Justice Department about whether to prosecute individuals. And I think, you know, the facts with respect to Mike Flynn have reached the point where the Department of Justice is going to have to evaluate should he be prosecuted for his conduct. I don't think that decision can be made by the Attorney General, and his very partial recusal wouldn't appear to cover Flynn because that conduct took place, at least part of it, after the campaign was over. So an independent counsel, I think, can and should look into that. Perhaps the charge of the independent counsel should be broader than that. But I also think probably the more significant step that Congress could take would be the formation of an independent commission like we had after 9/11. That would be truly outside the political realm. I think it would have the greatest level of credibility with the American people. But it would also be staffed appropriately to do this kind of investigation in both the Senate and House Intelligence Committees. We have among the smallest staffs, commensurate with our responsibilities. And the day job hasn't gone away. We still need to oversee these mammoth agencies. So I would like to see an independent commission as well as a special counsel.
Let's go to Kyle in Cedar Falls, Iowa. Hi, Kyle. Welcome to the program with Congressman Adam Schiff.
Hi, Jane. Thanks for taking my call.
You bet. Go ahead.
Okay. Well, I would just like to point out, I'm a never Trump conservative. I don't really have a big stake in this game of whether his approval ratings or how well he does as president, other than, you know, just wishing the American would do well as the American president would do well as an American. I'd just like to point out, in defense of his claims, however little basis of evidence there appears to be for them, this is not exactly outside of the character of the Obama Justice Department, from the Fast and Furious scandal to the specifically political scandal of the Department of Justice more subjecting conservative political groups to greater scrutiny would apply for 501c4 status. Mm-hmm. This is not as dramatic as this seems. This just seems to be.
It's not implausible, is what you're saying.
No, absolutely. It's not implausible.
Kyle, I hear it. Thank you so much, Congressman Schiff. I mean, we have a lot of that here from our website, from our callers. I mean, you know, you just never know.
Well, sure. And as Sarah Huckabee Sanders says, if this were true, it would be the largest scandal, much bigger than Watergate. Yeah, the operable phrase there is, if this were true. If it were true that millions of undocumented immigrants voted, that would be the biggest voting fraud scandal in U.S. history. Yes, it would be true. But that doesn't mean it is. That doesn't mean there's any plausible evidence of it. There isn't. And I'm sure that the president's call for the investigation of this bogus claim of the Obama administration wiretapping his campaign will be investigated just as he wants the millions of undocumented immigrants voting investigated. You know, that, I think, is a complete red herring. And unfortunately, just part of due course for this administration.
Kyle, thanks so much for the call. Let me turn you to Jeff Sessions, Attorney General Jeff Sessions, Congressman Schiff. You called for him to testify before the Intelligence Committee. What's the latest on this, to your mind? What do you want to hear from Jeff Sessions?
Well, actually, I call for Mike Flynn, too. I think the Senate Judiciary Committee wants Senator Sessions back to testify, and
correct.
I think he should
yes.
go back. Well, here's the thing. First of all, I think his recusal, his partial recusal, is inadequate. And I think if you hold the Attorney General to the same standard he held witnesses when he was voting on their confirmation, he would be calling on them to step down after misleading them the way that he did the Senate. So I think he should step down. He hasn't met his own high standard. But beyond that, because this Russia issue so suffuses the whole administration, I think that it's impossible for him to oversee even part of this investigation. Just to give you the most recent example of this week, if the reports are correct that Director Comey asked the Justice Department to speak publicly and refute this bogus claim by the president that Obama had wiretapped him, Sessions would have had to recuse himself from making that decision. Did he do so? We have no idea. And that's the problem. Will the public have any confidence that this Justice Department will be able to handle this investigation? And I think the answer is regrettably no. And for that reason, I think it's in the national interest that he step aside.
So here's Attorney General Jeff Sessions denying that he had discussed the presidential campaign in his meetings with the Russian ambassador Sergei Kislyak prior to the election.
Let me be clear. I never had meetings with Russian operatives or Russian intermediaries about the Trump campaign. And the idea that I was part of a, quote, continuing exchange of information during the campaign between Trump surrogates and intermediaries for the Russian government is totally false.
Here is Sessions addressing his future involvement in the Russian investigation at that same press conference.
I have now decided to recuse myself from any existing or future investigations of any matter relating in any way to the campaigns for President of the United States.
And here he is at the end of that press conference, Jeff Sessions admitting he should have told the Senate Judiciary Committee in January that he met with the Russian ambassador twice last year.
With retrospect, if I should have slowed down and said, but I did meet one Russian official a couple of times, that would be the ambassador.
So, Congressman Schiff, I have to say, I hear people who say it's not necessarily that Sessions had a meeting with the Russian ambassador, or even that he didn't reveal that during the Senate testimony. Maybe he forgot. It's the context of it all. It's Michael Flynn resigning. It's just in the context of this larger picture looming. What do you say?
I think you're absolutely right. I think that thinking back about the context in which then-Senator Sessions was meeting with the Russian ambassador, this was during a presidential campaign in which the Russians were heavily engaged in hacking and dumping and interfering in our election and trying to elect Donald Trump. And in that context, you have one of his most prominent surrogates, the head of his national security team, Jeff Sessions, meeting with the Russian ambassador in his office and now making the claim that, no, that was wearing his hat as a member of the Armed Services Committee. Well, we now know that none of the other members of that committee met with the ambassador Kislyak. And I don't think that explanation holds any water. There's only one reason Kislyak chose Jeff Sessions, and that was because of his role in the Trump campaign. And to claim otherwise, I think you would have to be extraordinarily naive, and I don't think that Mr. Sessions is that.
So recusal is not enough? He should resign?
I think he should step down. I think it's in the national interest to have someone truly independent heading the Justice Department. Given just how extensive this Russian investigation is and must be, but also because he didn't meet the standard he would set for others when he testified. He misled the Senate, and I don't think his explanations are very credible.
This podcast and the following message are sponsored by Blue Apron. Blue Apron is the fresh ingredient and recipe delivery service you've heard about. Its mission is to make incredible home cooking accessible to all. They support a more sustainable food system, set the highest standards for ingredients, and make it easy and fun to cook. You decide which recipes and how many meals you want each week. Change, pause, or cancel anytime. Learn more at blueapron.com/onpoint. Go now and get your first 3 meals free plus free shipping at blueapron.com/onpoint.
Hi, it's Tom. I'm glad you're listening to this On Point podcast. Really happy to have you here. You know, a lot of people barely know podcasts exist. They've never listened to one. Here at On Point, we want to change that. All this month, we're inviting our listeners to tell a friend about a podcast they love. Do it in real life or on social media, and make sure you let us know what you're recommending. Tell us using the hashtag TryPod. That's hashtag TryPod. And thanks.
This is On Point. I'm Jane Clayson in for Tom Ashbrook. We're in the studio with Democratic Representative Adam Schiff this hour, ranking member of the House Intelligence Committee. And you can join the conversation. Do you fear for our national security at this point in time? Or do you think the situation has simply been overblown? Here's Russia's Foreign Minister Sergei Lavrov pushing back on Friday at assertions that his country's U.S. ambassador is a spy. At a press conference in Moscow, he echoed President Donald Trump's that the controversy over contacts between the Kremlin and the Trump campaign is, quote, a witch hunt.
The ambassadors are appointed to certain relations with certain states, and these relations are supported by meetings, talks, contacts with the official representatives of the executive branch of power, as well as members of parliament, civic leaders, non-governmental organizations. And this practice has never been disputed by anyone. I can only use the quote distributed by the mass media today. It all looks like a witch hunt.
And here's Republican Senator Marco Rubio, a member of the Senate Intelligence Committee, saying yesterday on NBC's Meet the Press that the role of the Senate Intelligence Committee is to establish facts regarding Russian intervention.
That is our job, to gather facts. And I believe that's what we're going to do. I've told everybody I'm not going to be a part of a witch hunt, but I'm also not going to be a part of a cover-up. I want us to put the facts out there wherever those facts lead us. And I believe that is what the Senate Intelligence Committee will do.
Congressman Adam Schiff, you're a Harvard-trained lawyer, as I mentioned, and you famously prosecuted an FBI agent who was caught in a sex-for-secrets trap by the Soviet Union some years ago. I'm really curious how that experience impacted your views of Russia in the context of what is happening today.
Well, it certainly feels like I've come full circle, because at that time we were not only prosecuting an FBI agent for espionage, but I was working with other agents in the FBI to make the case and to look at what the Russians did, how they operate, what they were after. And a lot of those same questions are coming back now. But I have to say I got a chuckle out of Lavrov's statement and using the term witch hunt, because he's perfectly on message with Donald Trump, and perhaps even better on message than Sean Spicer. So that, hats off to the Russian foreign minister for following the White House talking points. But you know, I think the broader context here is we are in a tremendous struggle right now with autocracy on the march around the world. Lavrov is a perfect spokesman for the kind of autocratic model that Russia has become, and it's a model, unfortunately, other nations are following. And people in Europe are quite terrified about what this means for them. They look to the U.S. president as normally the champion of liberal democracy, and they're not sure what to make of this president. And notwithstanding statements that come from our vice president or Nikki Haley at the U.N. Or Rex Tillerson, who seems to have gone into hiding, no one seems to know whether anybody really speaks for the president and whether the president will really be there when push comes to shove and liberal democracy is threatened.
But personally, how did that case that you worked on and that you prosecuted, how did that change your thinking?
Well, I think it certainly gave me insights into the Soviet mentality, which is not obviously different than now the Russian mentality, the way that the Soviet system and the Russians and the KGB, what kind of tradecraft they used, how they would use different techniques to reel people in to gather information. And we see a lot of those tactics at work now. And one of the really important purposes of the investigation we're doing is to look at the length and breadth of what the Russians do to exert their influence around the world, what they did here at home, what they're doing now in Europe. And it ranges from what I saw in that case, which is the old sex for secrets kind of a bait, but also extortion and blackmail, the use of now sophisticated media and trolling and social media, but as well very powerful cyber weapons that amplify what they used to do in new and devastating ways.
So you hear this over and over again, you know, maybe Russian intelligence has got something on Donald Trump.
Well, you know, certainly that is a fear people have because they look at the president's conduct and they see it as otherwise inexplicable. Why would he behave this way? Why this radical change towards Russia? It's one thing to want to reset relations and try to find some areas of common purpose. But his inability to even criticize Putin, his response to Hannity or O'Reilly, I guess it was O'Reilly asking him, well, Putin's a murderer. And Donald Trump saying basically, are we so much different? You could not have designed a bigger propaganda coup for the Kremlin. That's exactly the Kremlin's message. They want to take down American democracy. They want to make us look like hypocrites. They want to say, yes, we're a corrupt autocratic society, but so is the United States. And our president is giving them every bit of ammunition they could ask for. So people look at that and they say, why? How do you explain this? And I look at it and I think there are a range of possible explanations from the benign or I guess the most benign to the least benign. The most benign is that this president is just seriously deluded into thinking that Russia is his friend. And the somewhat less benign explanation is he staked his reputation on this now Russia can do no wrong because he's incapable of admitting error. And then, of course, the absolute least benign is there was collusion. And what's more, there is material the Russians have that the president's word could be released. And I hope that our investigation will determine just what is behind this otherwise inexplicable policy.
Let's get Philip in here from Chasawitska, Florida. Philip, welcome to On Point. Hello.
Hi, Jane. Thank you for taking my call.
Of course. Go ahead.
Go ahead.
No, please. Go ahead. You're on the air.
My comment was just in regards to Senator and now Attorney General Jeff Sessions and whether or not he should resign from his post. And I know it's a little off what we've been talking about the last few minutes, but getting into this idea of meeting with the Russians or collusion, well, it's a long shot. The fact that he denied having any contact with them while under oath, and we've already had another top official resign for the same type of behavior, I think I do agree he should resign from that post. I, as an American, can't have confidence in him as an attorney general if he perjures himself and doesn't hold himself to the same standard that he would hold a previous president to when he called Bill Clinton out for perjuring himself and said no one is above the law. I think it would be a good move on his part to help restore confidence to the American people by resigning his post.
All right, Philip, thank you. Congressman Schiff, you know, Jeff Sessions is not the only member of the administration who's been called out for a meeting with the Russian officials. I mean, Senator Claire McCaskill, Democrat from Missouri, who has criticized the Attorney General for failing to disclose those meetings, had met with the Russian ambassador twice, actually, despite insisting otherwise in a statement. So there's a lot of give and take, a lot of play here between a lot of people.
Well, look, I don't think the sin was meeting with the Russian ambassador. The sin was not telling the Senate about it and affirmatively misleading the Senate. And, of course, it begs the question why. Senator Sessions certainly knew of the intense interest focus on Trump campaign contacts with Russian officials and with Russian proxies, the whole allegation of collusion during the campaign. So it's not as if this is happening in a vacuum. He understood exactly what the Senate was interested and concerned about, and he misled them, affirmatively misled them. And so I agree with your caller. I think part of what strikes all of us is we know exactly what Jeff Sessions would be saying and calling for if he was in the Senate right now. he would be among the most vociferous, arguing that the attorney general would have to resign. So I think we ought to hold him to his same standard.
You were with Senator John McCain at a national security conference in Munich just a couple of weeks ago. I'm curious what you were hearing overseas about all this.
Enormous fear. I mean, they see what the Russians are doing. Many of the Baltic nations have large Russian-speaking communities that are being bombarded by Russian propaganda. The Russians are invading their airspace. They're engaging in dangerous maneuvers. And they're, I think, quite terrified of what this means if they don't have the United States at their back. And what I think people need to realize is we're not a member of NATO and supporting NATO simply out of generosity and altruism. We derive enormous benefit from NATO. And if you think about the collective defense that embodies NATO, that's really the glue that keeps NATO together, that's only been invoked once, and it was invoked after 9/11 on our behalf. And a lot of these nations that our president is disparaging, like Australia, these are nations that have sent people to fight with us side by side in places like Afghanistan, and their people have died. And when he diminishes their contribution, when his only message to NATO really that's permeating at all is pay up, you know, they can rightly say we have paid with blood. And let's not forget about our contribution after you were attacked at 9/11.
But with regard to the Russia matter, what you're saying is an investigation not only helps us, but it helps Europeans as well.
Absolutely. You know, one of the most important purposes of this investigation is we need to know fully what the Russians did. We need to know that so that we can inoculate ourselves in the future. And I would hope in any future campaign where we see the Russians engaging to try to help one side or the other, that both political parties condemn it, that we expose it and that we condemn it. But more than that, right now, Europe is under assault by some of the same tactics that the Russians used here. And indeed, the Russians have used these tactics in Europe before they used them in the United States. The great shock to us was that they would have the unmitigated temerity to use them here in the United States. Yes, we need to use this information to protect our allies and to protect the whole idea of liberal democracy.
My guest this hour, Congressman Adam Schiff, ranking member of the House Intelligence Committee, which is currently investigating allegations of collusion between the Trump campaign and Russia in the 2016 election. Let's go back to the phones. Robert is in Jacksonville, Illinois. Hi, Robert. Thanks for waiting. Welcome to the program.
Hi, Jane.
Hi.
I have a comment about Attorney General Sessions.
Okay.
I'm a retired Army officer, and Army officers are held to a high standard, as we should be. And the standard is avoid any appearance of impropriety. In other words, if anybody just accuses us of improper behavior, we can be court-martialed for an appearance of impropriety. And we certainly have at least an appearance of impropriety. And the Attorney General should be held to the same standard or even a higher one.
Robert, thank you. I appreciate your call. Let's go to Jason in Cleveland, Ohio. Jason, thank you for calling. Hello.
Hi, guys. How you doing? I'll make this really quick. I lean really far to the right. I love listening to your show. I think this is a very important matter. But I also want to know about Chuck Schumer, his photos with Putin and Nancy Pelosi. And I think that's also a big deal that is not getting talked about. I'll let you guys go. Love the show. Thank you.
Thank you very much, Jason. What about that, Senator Schumer?
Well, again, the issue is not whether any congressional leaders have ever met with Russian officials. Certainly a great many have. I had a meeting probably 8 to 10 years ago. The Russian ambassador came to my office. And you know what I did right after the meeting? I called the Capitol Police and I asked them to sweep my office for bugs. The issue is when you're testifying before Congress, are you being truthful about it? And that's, I think, what has gotten Senator Sessions in trouble. It's not the fact that members of Congress have ever met the Russian ambassador. It's during a campaign when the Russians are actively involved in interfering with our democracy, are you being honest about the conversations you've had with the Russians? And Senator Sessions was not.
Let's get Matt in here from Crandon, Wisconsin. Hi, Matt. Welcome to the program.
Hello, Jane. Thanks for taking my call.
Yes.
I think what the investigations going on by the Democrats ring a little bit hollow to me, because their sincerity on, I think what they need to look at is the 20 times President Obama met with Russian ambassadors and see where that went and how he talked about being more flexible after the election. So I think that the Democrats, that's the only thing that they have in their playbook. They have no power vote-wise, so they've got to keep this narrative up. And if they don't get the answer they want, it still won't be good enough.
Matt, thank you. I hear you. And for time's sake, I'm going to cut in. I really appreciate your call, though. Congressman Schiff, I will say, I mean, you started sounding the alarm about Russia interfering in the election last fall, and you got strong pushback from President Obama when you tried to get the administration to go public.
Well, this is true. And, I would say, against the charge that Democrats have only become interested in Russia post-election, I was very critical of the Obama administration for not providing Ukraine with defensive weapons. I was very critical of the Obama administration for not coming out earlier and stronger attributing the Russian hacks to Russia and engaging in conversations with our European allies to sanction them well before the election. So this is not a new issue for me, and I think there's plenty of responsibility to go around. I would agree with this, however. I think we did know the Russians were involved in hacking before the election. And where Democrats fell down is we failed to persuade the country why they should care. And that is something I hope to change. It was certainly something I was working hard on. But again, we didn't persuade the American people that the most important thing about the hacked documents that they kept reading about was who had hacked them and why they wanted Americans to read them.
Got about 30 seconds here, Congressman Schiff. With regard to Russia, do we have reason to be concerned about our national security as a member, ranking member of the House Intelligence Committee?
Absolutely. And, just say this, one of the most important conclusions that the Intelligence community reached in that report that was published is what the Russians did to us, they will do it again. So we have every right to be concerned about attacks by Russia on our democracy. But we have also very much to be concerned with Russia remaking the map of Europe by dint of military force, as they did in Ukraine and as they have done elsewhere, and if they're not pushed back hard, as they will do again.
And what do you think they're thinking? How do you think Russians are viewing what's happening in this country right now?
Well, I think they had a catastrophic success with the election of Donald Trump. I think it was successful beyond their wildest imagination. Now they're starting to wonder what exactly have they gotten themselves into. Russia policy may not change all that much, and now they have a very erratic U.S. president.
Representative Adam Schiff, ranking member of the House Intelligence Committee, which is currently investigating the allegations of collusion between the Trump campaign and Russia in the 2016 election. Also one of the Gang of Eight, the top leaders who received special classified briefings. Thank you so much for coming into the studio today.
Thank you.
Really appreciate it. You can continue the conversation, get the On Point podcast at our website, onpointradio.org. Follow us on Twitter. Find us on Facebook at On Point Radio. I'm Jane Clayson, in for Tom Ashbrook. This is On Point.